News Radio WJPF, my friend Dr. Jeff Rippett on the other end of the line this morning. First things first, Jeff, I have to thank the doctor for doing this for me this morning. Our previously scheduled guest had to cancel because of a family emergency, so we want to thank Jeff for even picking up the phone last night. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, no problem. Anytime for you, Tom.
You know, and one of the issues I wanted to talk to you, because I'd already been planning on calling you, just kind of accelerated, is I think I wanted to know really what's going on in your office. We've seen the case numbers go up, but we haven't necessarily seen the hospitalizations go up in a commensurate level with case numbers like we've seen in the past. But nevertheless, those case numbers, the highest yet.
Yeah, so what's happening with COVID right now is a little bit different than what we've seen over the course of the pandemic over the past year and a half. I mean, previously there's been this kind of predictable pattern where we see case numbers go up, meaning just the number of people who test positive for COVID. And then about 2 weeks after that, we see hospital numbers go up. When case numbers go down, hospital numbers go down about 2 weeks later. And that two-week lag kind of makes sense because it's about 10 days after most people test positive. 10 days or so is when people usually get sick enough that they're going to wind up in the hospital. Hospital numbers are you know, on the high end right now. Southern Illinois Healthcare had 53 people hospitalized this morning. They've been running in more so in the 40s over the past month or so. And that's not exactly commensurate with what we've seen. I actually would have expected that number to be worse based on the number of cases that we've seen over the past month. So there's something going on, and I don't think we fully understand it yet. It probably has to do with the fact that there's a higher level of immunity in the community, both from just a higher percentage of people being vaccinated and just the sheer number of people who have already had COVID. So that's kind of good news. The bad news is, though, that hospital numbers are rising a little bit over the past week. And in my own practice, what I've seen through Shawnee Healthcare, where I work, we've had a kind of an explosion of positive COVID cases over the past week. So I kind of expect the numbers to continue to go up. But if there's anything we've learned about COVID, it's that the crystal ball is frequently wrong.
Which is something a lot of people who go on television should learn. You know, don't try to be a prophet with something like this. Now, I'm curious about your thoughts, because my gut twinge reaction, and I say twinge is an understatement, when I saw the CDC go quarantine days 10 to 5, and 2 years afterwards, I'm thinking that's something we could have learned a long time ago, would have had a huge impact on a lot of people. I'm wondering your thoughts on changing 10 to 5 quarantine. And I think, Jeff, the fact that you're such a researcher on this, that we've learned now that you are contagious before you show symptoms, and in fact, quite contagious.
Yeah, so if you're going to design a infection to spread throughout the community, you almost couldn't design one better than COVID. And I say that because people are the most infectious with COVID probably in the day or two before they get symptoms, and then a day or two after they get symptoms. And a lot of times then the symptoms are fairly mild. So a lot of people walking around contagious don't even really know that they're sick. And they have no reason to think they were sick. Again, they're going to be asymptomatic and spreading the disease. Regarding the CDC's new guidelines, I really don't have a problem with that. The vast majority of viral spread. So, well, let me go back, I guess, and talk about just the typical course of COVID. Most people are exposed to it and on average will start to show symptoms 5 days later, mild symptoms for 5 days, worse symptoms for 10 days. Most people around day 10 start to get better, but this percentage of people that really get bad around day 10 is when things get bad. So what the CDC is now saying is that if your symptoms are going away, or if your symptoms are gone by day 5 of symptoms, that you don't have to quarantine anymore. But they are saying you do need to, you know, be cautious, wear a mask for the next 5 days. And I think that's okay, because by day 5 for most people, even if, you know, even if they still have some mild symptoms, they're not really going to pass the disease as long as they're wearing a mask and taking some basic precautions. And honestly, I mean, we've known that for a while. So I do think that maybe these guidelines are a little bit late.
Right.
But better late than never. Yeah,
and that in late in my mind, because I'm thinking, well, let's use a hospital, for instance. Imagine what your staffing's like if you get somebody back half as quick. Right? I mean, imagine if you're running a meat processing plant and that person who's been exposed or had symptoms or whatever is back in 5 days instead of 10. And so there's a lot of things there that I think that are secondary levels of effect. Now, I'm curious about something else. Dr. Jeff Ripita joining us this morning. And here's one of the reasons I enjoy talking to Jeff, because he's front line, right? He's got the mask on. He's got the rubber gloves on. He's right there, right? He's right on the front line. So that leaves you in the position that over the course of the day or the next few days, you'll have somebody sitting in front of you, and you'll want to know, do they have the flu or do they have COVID?
That's a challenge right now. We're doing a ton of COVID testing because there's also a couple of viruses that are circulating in the community that look a whole lot like COVID at the start. And about the only symptoms that somebody can have that absolutely will typically clinch it for me that they have COVID is if they come in and they say, hey, I can't smell anything and I can't taste anything. So people that have those symptoms almost always have COVID. You can get those symptoms with other viruses, but in reality, we don't see that all that frequently. So influenza is circulating some in the community right now. I wouldn't say heavily, but it is out there. We're getting a spattering of positive tests on that. There's another virus called parainfluenza, which is not necessarily a virus-related influenza, but a lot of the symptoms look the same. There's always sort of typical winter crud just floating around, a couple other viruses called rhino and adenovirus. And the first day or two of all of those look very similar, which can make it a challenge to figure out which it is, even for an experienced clinician. So I would just encourage anybody, if you have especially kind of sinus symptoms, COVID, a lot of times people start with just sort of mild sinus congestion, and a lot of people will think they have a minor sinus infection. If you have that, if you have a cough, if you have fever, if you have body aches, if you have headaches, go get tested, not just for COVID, but for the flu as well, just because, we don't want to forget other diseases just to the exclusivity of COVID. So we need to make sure you don't have the flu and you're not going to go spread that at your office, your workplace, your family gathering as well.
Jeff, I see this as, and since you and I have talked about this since the very early days, all right, we go back 2 years ago, we're taking off our clothes the doorway and putting in plastic bags because they said it's so contagious, right? We find out that's 1 in 10,000 when contact surface. We see all these other items here. And so our defenses were up at the beginning, psychologically and physically. And now here we are with the numbers, the highest they've ever been, and everybody is suffering something like pandemic fatigue to the power of 10. We've gone past fatigue to something else. I'm not sure what the word is. If you've got it, please offer. But you know what I'm talking about. We see the biggest spread number cases and the least seeming reaction out there among the public.
I would agree with that. It's hard to go back once you've moved forward. There was a time sort of after the major spike last winter about this time in COVID cases locally when numbers went way down, and there was even a day or two where we had nobody hospitalized locally with COVID, and then the massive summer spike. And I think we all let our guard down. And that's me included. I do things now that I wouldn't have been doing a year ago. The tricky part about COVID is if you are young and vaccinated, your odds of getting very, very, very sick or of dying are almost zero. And when I say young, I'm talking under 50, So if you're under the age of 50, you have no lung issues, you're not overweight, you're generally healthy, you're vaccinated, your odds of getting COVID to a degree that it's going to majorly impact your life or going to die is pretty well zero. And, having somebody in that situation saying, hey, you need to follow all these restrictions, when they say, well, why? Because I might get sick for a couple of days. I get that on an individual level. Why somebody would say, do I really need to take all those precautions if that's all the risk to me? Somebody who's young, overweight, unvaccinated, or even the elderly who are vaccinated just face a much higher risk. So I think everybody kind of needs to look in the mirror and say, hey, what is my risk really? And to what degree am I going to mitigate my behavior? I get nervous, honestly, mostly still for elderly people or people with health issues. who aren't taking any sort of precautions at all, especially around the holidays. Because, I mean, there's one thing we've seen consistently through the pandemic. It's those people who are really at the highest risk of having major health issues.
Yeah, and obesity, I think, has to be added in that list too, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the patients who have had bad health outcomes from COVID, with maybe one exception, have been either old or overweight.
Yeah.
I mean, I have not had a thin, young, healthy person get very, very sick from COVID. It just hasn't happened.
Jeff, it's always good to talk with you. I appreciate you making a last-minute change in your schedule to be able to join us this morning. It means a lot to me, and thank you, Dr. Jeff Ripetta. Jeff, Happy New Year, buddy.
Thanks, Tom. Likewise.
7:34.